So 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 35, and I'll read all the way down to 49. The Apostle Paul writes, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." Excuse me. Now, we've been in this chapter for a long time. This is actually the eighth lesson just in chapter 15. So, you've been here, you know what Paul is addressing. Some in the Corinthian church were saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. And Paul has spent the first half of the chapter proving that there is resurrection from the dead. Namely, the proof that we have is that Jesus was raised from the dead. And Paul started the chapter by saying, look, Scripture confirms that there is resurrection from the dead. We have eyewitnesses who have seen Jesus resurrect from the dead. I have seen Jesus resurrect from the dead. Another 500 have also. He talked about the foolishness of denying the resurrection, since that would be denying Christianity itself. And then he explained that as Christ has risen, that all who are in him shall also rise. So he's established that. There's no question. There is resurrection, and we shall also be resurrected. So now, he anticipates another question, which is in verse 35. He says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? He expects people to say, Paul, we know what happens when people die. Remember when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus and he says, open it up. And Martha says to him, no, don't open it up. It's been 4 days. He's already starting to stink. People are listening to Paul talking about the resurrection and they're saying, but we know that the body decomposes, falls apart. And they're thinking, is that the body that is going to be raised up? This doesn't make a lot of sense, Paul. I mean, what about people who were burned, blown up? People who have just died a long time ago and they're bodies have become one with the soil. How can they come back to life? There's nothing left. And so Paul begins his answer in verse 37 by saying, fool. That's his first word, fool. Now, I know that our translation says foolish one, And every other translation you find tries to soften it by saying, oh, what a foolish thought, or what a foolish statement. But the Greek is just one word, fool. Fool. And I'm reminded of the Sadducees who came to Jesus, who the Sadducees also did not believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees were, the Jews, amongst the Jews, there were different sects. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Sadducees were the liberal group of ancient Judaism. They didn't believe in the supernatural, they didn't believe in angels, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. And they came to Jesus one day trying to trick him, trying to stump him. And they said to him, Jesus, we have a question about the resurrection. So they said, we know this lady who was married to a guy and he died. And then she married his brother and then he died. And then she married his brother and then he died. And basically this woman was married to 7 different people. And whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? How's that going to work, Jesus? And of course, Jesus' answer is, well, in the resurrection, you're not married. But his first statement to them, he says, okay, first of all, you're wrong. Because you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Okay? You don't know. You don't know what you're talking about. The Sadducees were foolish people because they did not understand the power of God to raise the dead. And now Paul is basically saying the same thing to some of the Corinthians. He says, you're fools. He's like, they're like, but how can a body that has died and decomposed come back to life? And he's like, you know that God created the world out of nothing, right? You know God created Adam out of dust. You know God created Eve out of Adam's rib. You really think that God can't raise the dead? You think that God is going to have trouble putting a disintegrated body back together? You know, it's one thing for an unbeliever to say, I don't believe in the resurrection. I don't believe that kind of thing. That's science doesn't support it, whatever. But it's another thing for a person who's part of the church, the people here in Corinth who are part of the church, to say, yeah, I don't see how there can be a resurrection from the dead. So Paul says, fool. And he's going to explain about the resurrection body that the resurrection body is not simply the previous body put back together. It is that in one way, but it is a more advanced form of our previous body. And so the example he's going to be using here is that of a seed. He's like he's basically saying it's not what I'm going to tell you. He's saying is not strange. You see it all the time in nature. Approximately, we have a good example in nature, and it's a seed. Look at verse 36. He says, "Foolish one, what you sow, the seed that you sow, is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be." But mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Okay, here's the picture. You have a seed, okay? And you put the seed in the ground. You bury it in the ground. What happens? It doesn't just sit there doing nothing. What does a seed do? It sends life out from the ground. Okay? So, in one way, let's think about the seed and the plant that comes up. In one way, what comes out of the ground is organically connected to the seed, okay? It's not that, and look in verse 38, he says, God gives a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body, okay? So there is a connection between the seed and the body of the plant that comes up. They are connected, okay? If you got a tomato seed, you're going to get a tomato plant. If you have an apple seed, you'll have an apple tree, okay? So there is a connection between the two. That which goes in, there's a connection between that which comes out. But they're also very different. In verse 37, he says, what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be. All right? When you put a seed in the ground, what comes up is not another seed. It's something else. It's some kind of plant. It's some kind of tree that comes up from the seed. All right? There's a difference. There's a change. The seed transforms into something greater. So, what do we learn from the seed? And what do we learn about resurrection? In one sense, there is a continuation between the seed and the plant. One is connected to the other. But in another sense, there is a transformation of the seed that was put in. It transforms. It comes out as something different. It's connected, but it comes out as something different. So what's the implication? What does this mean for us? After we die, our bodies are put in the ground, but we shall rise from the dead. It's still going to be us. It's not that the body is left to rot and God gives us a whole new different body that has nothing to do with the other one. No, it's still us. Okay, resurrection implies that what died comes back to life. So what's going to be put in the ground is going to come out. It's going to be us. But our bodies are going to be transformed into something greater than we have now, than what goes into the ground. Which means, just like with the seed, you put the seed in, it doesn't look like much, and it comes out as an enormous, amazing plant, amazing tree. Which means that the Christian life that we see right now, this is not the fullest sense of life that we will have. The fullest sense of life for the Christian is yet to come in the future, after we have been raised from the dead. Okay, so we have the body that is placed in the ground like the seed and is raised, transformed as something greater. Now, someone will say, but how can that be, Paul? How can that be, Nico? I mean, you're saying that our body is going to be resurrected, but it's going to be different? How can you have a body that's different? And Paul's answer is very simple. In verse 39, he says, yeah, what's the problem with that? Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. He says, why is it so weird for you to understand that our bodies are going to be different? Hasn't God created already different kinds of bodies? You've seen fish, right? And the scales and stuff that they have, that's not like us. You've seen birds, right? They have feathers. We don't have feathers. God can create different kinds of bodies. So, what's the problem? We know that God can create different kinds of bodies. So his point here is, just as God can create different kinds of bodies, he can remake us, resurrect us, and transform our bodies from what they are now to something else. It's still going to be us, but it's going to be transformed into some other kind of body. What's the problem? Not only that, but these transformed bodies that we will have, not only does God make different bodies, but he also makes bodies that have different kind of splendor and greatness and glory. Not all bodies are made as great as every other body. And here's what he shows in verse 40. He says, in verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial one is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Look at the moon at night, especially when it's like a full moon. It can get pretty bright. It's pretty cool to look at, lights up the night. But compared to the sun, midday, I mean, that'll blind you. Okay? That's very different. So God has created different things that have different splendor, different greatness, different glory. Okay? What's your point, Paul? Here's the point. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Everything I've been telling you is about the resurrection of the dead. I've been giving you examples about seeds that die and come back to life. I've given you examples about how there are different kinds of bodies. I've given you examples about how different kinds of bodies have different kind of glory. And you all agree on that. These are all analogies of the resurrection body. How so? Look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. He gives us here a description of what our bodies are like now and what our bodies will be like after they are resurrected. What are our bodies like now? He mentions three things in these verses: corruption, dishonor, and weakness. That's what our bodies are like now. The entirety of our lives, we're just slowly dying, getting sick, getting old, things just don't work. Look, I'm 39, and for some of you, you may be thinking, you're just a kid, you're just young, what do you know? Even at 39, which I know is not that old, I can't do what I used to do when I was 20. I remember when I was 20, there were things that I could do that I was 20 that I can't do now that I'm 39. There were things that I could eat when I was 20 that I can't eat now that I'm 39. They just messed me up. The body is just not working right. I used to go to the gym when I was like 18, 19. I used to go to the gym every day, lifting weights every day, and then I'd go play basketball, and then I'd go swim. Energy was insane. Now, I stopped going to the gym for 20 years. Now I've started going again. If I go one day, I need at least another day after that to recover. Okay? I just can't do it. The body can't handle it anymore, and I'm only 40-ish. Okay? Who knows what I'm going to be like when I'm 60 or 80. All of us, we know this. All of us, we watch what we eat. We try to exercise. We try to be healthy. We take medication. We have surgery. We're always, constantly, all of our lives, trying to fix our bodies because they're falling apart. And they never get fixed. We just get older and older and weaker until we die. And that's what Paul is saying. That's what our lives are like now. Corruption, dishonor, weakness. That's what our bodies are like now. But he says, even though it's sown, even though it goes into the ground in weakness and corruption, our bodies will be raised, he says, in corruption, glory, and power. Having a discussion earlier this week about healthcare and medication and hospitals in Greece and how it all works. And I was thinking, after the resurrection, there's no need for any of that stuff. You don't need hospitals, you don't need doctors, you don't need medication anymore. Our bodies are going to be strong, they're going to be glorious, and they're going to be incorruptible. Never get sick, never to die again. That's what our bodies will be like. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, this verse has confused a lot of people, so I need to spend a couple of minutes here. This chapter is about the resurrection. And when we're talking about resurrection, we're talking about resurrection of the body. We're talking about a resurrection of a tangible, material body. Now, it's going to be glorious and incorruptible, but it's going to be something material, tangible, okay? But people read this verse where it says that our body is sown a natural body and is raised a spiritual body, and they get confused because when they think spiritual, they think it's talking about some kind of immaterial, non-tangible, spirit-like condition. They think, well, wait, what? It's going to be, I thought we were talking about being raised as an actual physical body. But here it says it's going to be raised a spiritual body. So does this mean that this new body is going to be immaterial? It's going to be floating around like a spirit? What does that mean? No, that is not what it means. Here's what it means. When it's giving us a distinction between natural and spiritual, this is not a distinction between a material body and an immaterial body. Okay, that's not what it's talking about. We know this because this terminology was already used back in chapter 2. Back in chapter 2, these exact words were used where Paul said that a natural man does not understand the things of God, okay? While the spiritual man does, okay? So it's not talking about a person who has a body and a person who does not have a body. Okay, clearly, that's not what that passage is talking about. What is it talking about? When it says you have a natural person who doesn't understand the things of God and a spiritual person who understands the things of God, what is that talking about? The natural man is a person who the level of his life is that which is common to all people. He is what people are like by nature. That is the natural man. The spiritual man is the person who is indwelt by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? The difference is an ordinary human life, ordinary common human life, compared to a life which is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Those are the two differences, okay? So what we're talking about when Paul says that we have natural body, but then we're going to have a spiritual body, he's not talking about what the body is made out of. He's not talking about what the body is composed of. He's talking about what is it that animates the body? What is it that drives the body? What is it that guides the body? Let me give you an example, maybe you'll understand. If I were talking about a boat, okay? We're not talking about what is the boat made of. We're not saying is it made of wood or is it made of steel. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the actual material that the boat is made of. We're talking about what moves the boat. What drives the boat? Is it wind? Is it steam? Is it gas? What is it? Okay? That's what we're talking about. What is it that moves the boat? And so when Paul says that we have a natural body now, but we're going to have a spiritual body then, he's not talking about the material that our body is going to be made of. He's saying now our bodies are the kind of bodies that every single person has. It's just the natural way the body is. But then we're going to have a body which is animated and energized fully by the Spirit of God. That's the point. Okay? This is how we are now. That's how we're going to be then. We're going to have an incorruptible, glorious, powerful body that never dies, fully indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That is the point. So, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being or a natural human being. The last Adam, that's Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man, Adam, was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Paul does this a lot. Paul likes making parallels between Adam and Christ. And he has previously, in this very chapter, said that all who are in Adam, like Adam, die. But all who are in Christ, like Christ, will be resurrected. And now, he's making the same kind of parallel, talking about the kind of body that Adam had, and the kind of body that Christ had when he was resurrected. So here's his point, verse 48. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Adam was made of dust, and he died and returned to the dust. And we, who are his descendants, have borne the image of Adam. We have bodies like him. When we die, we return to the dust like him. But if you are in Christ, as Christ has been raised with a glorious, he calls it here a heavenly body. But heavenly, again, is not talking about an immaterial body. It's simply talking about connected to heaven and eternity. As Christ has been raised immortal, never to die again, so also those who will be raised will have a body like his. So here's the sermon in one sentence. Okay? The entire sermon in one sentence or two sentences. Okay? Here's the quick answer. The question was, in what kind of body are the dead raised? Answer, in a body like Jesus' resurrection body. We were going to be raised in a body like Jesus's when he was raised. That is the answer. Okay? In 1 John 3, we are told, we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. In Philippians 3:21, it says, we wait for the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. We're waiting for him to come back, because when he comes back, our poor, old, weak bodies are going to become glorious bodies like his. So people are wondering, then of course, well, what is Christ's resurrected body like exactly? And there's all kinds of speculations, I know. Like, for example, a lot of people will talk about how, you know, when Jesus was resurrected, he appeared in the room where the disciples were, even though the doors were locked. Or that he disappeared and appeared somewhere else. And they say, oh, our resurrected bodies, we're going to be able to just be in one place and then disappear and appear somewhere else. I don't know if that's one of the properties of the new resurrection body. It could just be that the Spirit chose to take him and put him somewhere else, like with Philip, for example. Remember with Philip, with the Ethiopian eunuch, he baptizes the eunuch, and then the Spirit takes him and puts him somewhere else. You know, the Spirit can do that if he wants to. It's not that Philip had a resurrection body or anything. So I don't know if that is part of being resurrected or if it was just something that Jesus did at that time. I don't have a lot of specifics. I don't have a lot of details about what the resurrection body is going to be like. What I do know is what this passage says, that it's going to be powerful, unlike the weakness that we have now, that it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be incorruptible, never to die. Those are the kind of bodies that we're going to have. Let me just close. Because you may be saying, Nico, you sure have been talking about the resurrection a lot. This is the 8th week, and there's still more to come. Yes, I have been talking about the resurrection a lot because Paul has a lot to say about it. And since he has a lot to say about it, I have a lot to say about it. But it is extremely important because we talk about believing in Jesus all the time. We tell people to trust in Jesus, repent of their sins, believe in Jesus. Why? What is our ultimate hope? Our ultimate hope is to be like Christ. And if we're going to be like Christ, as he was resurrected, we will also be resurrected. That is our future hope. Listen, Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life. He obeyed God's law perfectly. He never sinned. He was a completely righteous man. And we know that death is the result of sin. Okay? And so since Jesus was sinless, since he was perfectly righteous, even though they killed him, death couldn't hold him. And so he was raised from the dead. Okay? Well, what about us? We do have sin. We sin every day. We are corrupt. But what happens when we trust Christ? When we trust Christ, not only is our sin forgiven, But Christ's righteousness is accounted to us. Scripture says that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That means that when God the Father looks at us, He does not see us sinful anymore. He sees us like Christ. He sees us covered in Christ's righteousness. He sees Christ's perfect righteousness in us. We are accounted righteous because of what Christ did for us. And so since in Christ we are righteous, in Christ, not because of what have we done, because of what Christ has done for us. Since in Christ we are righteous, death will not be able to hold us either. That's why death couldn't hold Him. So death will not be able to hold us either, because our sins have been forgiven and we are righteous in Christ. Therefore, those who trust in Christ can anticipate to be raised like Christ was raised. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.